Am I? There we go. Okay. Let's bring the February tone. So if you just pull that off, just take the handheld off of there. There you go.
Hello?
You did it. Hey, he's good technically. We got it. Okay. If you could just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background and why you'd like to be on this commission.
My name is Stephen Marcatello. I've been in Morro Bay for a little short of 23 years, and the main reason I wanted to apply for the commission was seeing the second vacancy opportunity published in a newspaper. I suspected that there would be very few applicants, and I thought that it might be time to do my civic service. I was primarily interested in filling a vacancy which I perceived to be, you know, uncontested. But on the other hand, I have a pretty strong technical background. I've got a background in electromechanical systems and vehicle repair and such. And I've also built some fairly large structures, large barns and such, and have familiarity with things like engineering, soil, drainage, sewer systems. I've studied quite a bit in my life, and I thought I might be able to make a little contribution to the Parks and Recreation Commission, especially facing some large projects which might need a little volunteer effort or planning. That is primarily what I perceived as, you know, the what I would be doing.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening. My name is David. It's been a joy to the 8 years that I've been on. It's been wonderful for the citizens of Morro Bay to come to the commission with their concerns and problems, discuss that, hopefully often find solutions for that, and then either recommend it to you, the city council, or, you know, find different avenues or different solutions for it, you know, to save you guys time and energy because you guys are so busy. So it's just been a wonderful opportunity to do it, and I hope to serve some more on that.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Christy Hale, and I've been in Morro Bay for about 5 years. I've got two young children, and my main reason for wanting to serve is to get involved in civic duties as well. I also feel that having two young children participating in a lot of park and rec department activities, us participating in different events that are going on in the city, that I would, you know, like to be able to contribute to help make the park and recs department as strong as it can be. You know, you're always balancing, you've got a limited amount of dollars to spend, and you're trying to maximize the services you're providing to your community. So there's a ton of decision making that you have to do. And, you know, the park and recs department, I've worked with a lot of the individuals there. And I think just adding more folks to the mix and helping to solve problems and come up with new ideas of ways to, again, maximize your dollars and provide the most service to the community is something I'd be really interested to get involved in.
Okay. Mind you hold on to the microphone.
Okay.
And Thad, let's start with you. Questions?
Yes. In your opinion, what's the major concern of the Recreation and Parks Commission today in Morro Bay?
I think, you know, budget is one, trying to cope with.
I also say the budget is a main concern for the Parks and Recs Department. Maintaining that budget to maintain the parks, the programs, to keep the staff on board to do the tremendous job they're doing is also a concern. And I think this has been one of the biggest years of budget problems that I've been on for the past 8 years. There have been ups and downs, but this has probably been the hardest hit a year that I can think of. So I think budget is a concern.
I'd have to agree that primarily getting the most for your dollar is the overriding concern of any kind of the Parks and Recreation Department, simply because there is so much. It's one of the discretionary services that a city provides, and is one of the first services to be cut in case that, you know, the city is running into a shortfall. And the ability to get the maximum amount of recreation for your dollar spent, for the city's dollar spent, would be a very important part of being in the Parks and Recreation Commission.
Okay, hold on to the microphone. Okay. And Betty?
I had a question.
I'm thinking. Is that on? I'm thinking in terms of the parks now themselves, rather than the recreation programs or the after kids programs. We have a number of pieces of parks or open spaces like the Bluff or the little Bayshore place like that. Are there other ways that you see that we could be maximizing their use rather than just maximizing personnel, or do you think they each perform their own function?
If acquiring another park proved to be possible, it would certainly be exciting to be a part of it. But with the parks we have, there are unused areas, there are places that could be improved, and one of the important things would be to consult with the users, basically look at the neighborhood around it and the people who are actually using this facility, trying to see what they want and inviting public comment as much as possible, and then attempting to decide if there's anything within limited budgets that can be done to improve the park. I have, you know, a few ideas along that line just from my own use of the facilities over the years, and it would be interesting to see if there's any support for it.
I think that you're getting the most bang for your buck with the parks system. I think they're doing a good job, the crew keeping it cleaned and maintained. What we could do different, I really don't know, because there's been different members and of the city and of Park and Recs who've looked at the problem to come up with it. I don't know if there's anything else that I could offer. The only thing, there is a program where groups volunteer to maintain and help with the park and volunteer for that, and that helps out with the cost of it. But nothing else I see directly.
Likewise, I think the parks that my kids go to and we go to are utilized quite frequently, and it's exciting to see them. There's always kids at the parks that we frequent. And, you know, again, beyond really understanding what the particular issues are with the parks and their utilization, clearly the one down on the waterfront might get a little less use. I mean, they all have their particular benefits, and they're all serving a particular group, whether it's tourists or, again, school kids at Del Mar. My overall sense is that the parks
cuts this next year, and you're on the commission. What would be your last ditch effort? What would be the program you would cut last, and what would you cut first?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. All of them have their importance. I guess you would have to see, you know, perhaps the programs, what's not being used, what's being used. I would say the lease is the park. Usually the first that gets cut is, you know, maintenance to the parks. But I think, to me personally, I think that's important part, because we have such wonderful parks. You know, tourists come and see them, and it's just nice to have these nice, clean parks we have. But to me, that's how it is. To the thing to cut first, oh, you got me, Bill. I don't know. You know, looking at the different programs, I think the Park and Recs Department has got the most bang for the buck from their programs. They have cut different programs where it's, you know, it has hurt in different situations, but they've done a good job. Everyone's worked together as a team to maintain that. So if you're looking for an answer, Bill, I don't know. Probably, like anything, any project coming up, you know, put it on hold for a while that need, you know, that any maintenance or construction. But I can't think of anything else offhand directly, Bill.
Either way.
You know, I think the approach would be to take a look at the different services. Good opportunity to bring in some other folks to help attack that, whether it's, you know, volunteer people that maintain the parks or whatever that might be. But I think it's a combination of that methodology of seeing where is your utilization, are there other solutions that could help out and fill in some budget shortfalls in a particular area of the services, and tackle it that way.
Yeah, I have to agree that one of the things that would be last to cut would be maintenance and upkeep. Basically, we have these parks, they're kind of a treasure, and we need to maintain them. One of the first things I would cut, as little as I know about the budget system of the Parks and Recreation Department, would be possibly frequency of upgrades, possibly new capital construction, possibly the addition of new equipment, possibly the repair or major repair of things that are merely old but not necessarily decrepit. It might be possible to shave a little off the capital side, but without impacting the maintenance. The maintenance should probably be preserved. One thing that could help in a budget shortfall situation is, and here again I have to agree, it's trying to recruit volunteers from the community to take over services, or in some cases donate materials, services, or even construction in the event that, you know, this would be legally possible and done without any negative effects on the city. It would be possible to utilize
These evenings when we're appointing boards and commissions, because it's residents of the town talking to residents of the town, and especially really concerned residents of the town talking to other concerned. So I know that you all live here and you're concerned enough to notice what's going on out there. So aside from budget, aside from any of the constraints and the kind of negative talk, I like to have people on boards and commissions who can dream and who can vision. So I was wondering, just out on the street and in your neighborhoods and communities, what's the biggest citizen concern or the biggest thing on their minds in terms of recreation and parks?
That's even a tougher question than the last one. There are a lot of different opinions. For instance, a lot of the dog owners in the city are concerned that they have just lost their the permit for the Del Mar Park that we were using, the unused area that's supposed to be tennis courts. That's a concern that I have personally heard. One thing I'd be interested in seeing, there has been a proposal for a boardwalk from the Embarcadero down to the Brock, and I consider this an excellent idea. The concern I'd have is I'm not certain a boardwalk would actually be the best facility to try, but a walkway, a pedestrian-friendly walkway that could even accommodate those little pedal cars, and I'm trying to be polite here, that you always see on the street, if they had a separate primarily lane width area that they could ride on, I think it would be a boon to the city.
I'm trying to think of the different questions or concerns people have come up with the Park and Recs Department. Mainly, probably, that I've heard is, you know, a lot of people would just like a swimming pool, probably. You know, since the one at Morro Bay kind of went away, it's been tough. Yeah. That's not. I think that is a concern that I've talked to a lot of people. The dog park is also a concern because people, you know, would like to have something like that. But I have not heard a lot of, I don't want to call it gripes or concerns, let's call it, concerns with the Park and Recs Department. Probably just those little things.
Well, as a parent of two young children going to Del Mar, obviously I'm around a lot of like parents, and we obviously want to see our kids have as many opportunities as they can to participate in sports activities, events, and just get involved. And so I think the other key area is the after-school program that Kids Club offers, and I have been vocal in trying to help, you know, keep that program running and have it sustained so that we have that after-school service. I mean, when you think about it, for a lot of working parents, and obviously to afford a home here and live your life here, again, in many cases, both parents have to work. And so that after-school program is really, really critical for working parents. I know there's debates about who really should run it. At the end of the day, though, it's a fantastic service that we're providing to our community. To lose something like Taekwondo class is certainly could be painful for people that want to take a Taekwondo class when there was that discussion sometime last year. So I think that's certainly something that's important to the community. I think also making the sports activities and programs affordable. There's obviously seasonal sports activities, and how is it? How do you make it so that anybody in the community who has a child that might have an interest in a particular sport or after or a class can afford to do it? It's tough, and so what can we do to make those affordable and available to more people in the community? I think the swimming pool would certainly serve the community well. So those are my thoughts.
Okay, and I really don't have any further questions. That pretty well gives me an idea. Anybody have any further thoughts? Okay, then we will go to our ballot. Thank you very much. Really appreciate all of you and your thoughts and comments. Excellent. Okay, so we choose one. And this is for a short term, right? It's to fill, is it Angela's? Okay, 2-year term, okay.
While he's tallying that, if I could make a comment.
Sure.
If my mic's on. Okay, thanks. I just want to say I appreciate the articulate. It's kind of like what to do. And I guess I'm going to just justify my voting. And that is, since David's been on for 2 terms, I tend to like to give other people a chance. And so the only single person actually is Steve. And so I did go ahead and vote for Steve for that reason. Not because I don't think Ms. Hale is wonderful or that David hasn't done a good job, but I'm really impressed. Thank you.
Yeah, I have to agree. I am too. And this all seems very cut and dried the way we do it now. It actually saves feelings, but sometimes we do like to be able to say thank you to all of you because you were excellent. So, and don't be discouraged if you don't get chosen this time. Please don't be discouraged about coming back because that's all it takes sometimes is a second try.
Madam Mayor, adding to the tension of the moment, we have a we have a tie between Christy Hale and Stephen Marcatello. So if you would re-ballot with just those two names, we would appreciate it.
Well, we know David didn't get it. And David, I just want to say right now, thank you so much for all the service you have done. You've been excellent. I've watched you grow. I know the first time you were chair, you were just kind of very unsure, and you have become so calm and collected. And
no.
Do you need to call it out?
Oh, I have to read the vote. Yeah. The balloting was three to Christy Hale and 2 to Stephen Marcatello. Incidentally, I'll tell you now, I was asked by the city attorney to ask you to affirm these appointments by motion at the end of the meeting before we leave tonight. So that's
all right,
what
we'll
will do.
Is he also supposed to say who voted?
Yeah, don't you have to
say who voted? I can. Mayor Peters voted for Christy Hale. Councilmember Baxley, Stephen Marcatello. Councilmember Winhost, Stephen Marcatello. Councilmember Pierce, Christy Hale. Councilmember DeMeritt, Christy Hale.
Okay. Thank you. Hope to see you back again, Stephen. All right. Next group, and obviously a reduced group from what we thought. Okay, so John Myers is not going to be here.
Nope.
And Tom Laurie is not here, although he did not call. And Gary Trudeau is also not here. So we have 3 applicants, and if you would all come down to the hot seat, please. Okay, Jack, you want to grab the microphone? We'll start with you and give us a little short bio and why you're interested.
I've lived and worked in Morro Bay for 34 years in the private sector. I read in the paper that there were certain advisory groups, commissions, looking for applicants in the community. I've served in the Chamber of Commerce. I've served in the private sector all my life. And I thought, maybe it's time I gave something back. Morro Bay's been awful good to me. I first went to the Water Advisory Board. I went down to see Rick, the harbor master. Unfortunately, that position had been filled, and he recommended I check out the vacancy in the Planning Commission. And I thought, well, I've been in the real estate business for 34 years. I help clients every day solve their real estate problems, not just buying and selling either. I've seen things go on in the last 5 or 6 years that, having developed property myself, I've come to the conclusion that sometimes less is best. And that's another reason that I'm applying for the position. I've seen some things go on that I didn't particularly agree with. Change of current zoning, which I keep...
...years in California for 43 years. My background, I have a degree in public accounting and economics from Michigan State and a JD degree. And I've been involved in activities in Morro Bay for a number of years. I was on the council and also served 8 years on the Planning Commission. And I retired from the State Board of Equalization. I was a business tax administrator in San Luis Obispo County and northern Santa Barbara County for 20 years. And I had a staff of auditors and personnel. We worked in San Luis and then in Rio Grande. But I filed for the Planning Commission, and that I think there is a lot of issues coming up that needs to be addressed in the future, you know, by the city. I think I know I've talked to the mayor at times that I think the zoning ordinance should be brought back, and certain parts of it should be reexamined. And I just feel that I want to be part of it. I love the city. I've tried to be active in it, if not out front on the council and on the commission, in the background by contacting and talking to city council persons. And I think it's really important, you know, to be involved in your city, and because I've lived here in the, like I say, 33 years, and I've observed the city, how it's grown. And I'm not against growth, but I think it has to be good growth. And like I say, I think, primarily, I'd like to see the zoning ordinance come back and be able to work on that.
The Historical Society of Morro Bay, it had stopped meeting, and we got that started up again, and it's a very active group right now. I clean 2 miles of Highway 1 and 2 miles of Main Street, try to keep the trash out and keep it looking nice. I was on the 2020 Vision Committee that presented their findings to you here a couple months ago. Roger Castle and myself are in the process of having a pictorial history book published of Morro Bay, and I think all of you will find that very interesting. I am the founder of the Celebrate Morro Bay Parade that we just had this past Saturday, and I do want to compliment all of you for last year. You almost drowned. This year we almost froze you to death, but you hung in there, and we appreciated that. I've served, in addition to the work within the city itself, I have served in many areas in my own church. So I've kept myself pretty active in that. I do have to say, when one of the people that had applied for the parks position talked about old and decrepit. I did get just a little nervous when he was talking about that. But in my active years, I'm retired now, in my active year, working years, I worked for 8 years in the construction industry in Los Angeles. One of the jobs that I like to tell my grandkids about, and they get tired of hearing it, is I did all the reinforcing steel in the monorail ride at Disneyland.
Okay. Melody, let's start with you.
Well, I usually take my questions right out of your introductions, listening to what you say and then digging a little bit more into that. So I heard you talk about things that have gone on that you disagreed with and needing to reexamine parts of the zoning ordinance. So I was wondering, what did each of you address it in your own way with either specialized knowledge or things you see, having lived here so long, what do you think is probably the most critical planning issue facing the Planning Commission?
Well, I think the fact that you have put a moratorium on a certain aspect of the building regarding density and common areas is obviously one of the more important items in front of you right now. Not too far behind that, because it comes up all the time, is parking, whether we're talking about downtown or the Embarcadero and residences, that's always out there in front, and things that just have to keep working on and evolving a program that will work. So I would say those are the two biggest items that I see.
Okay. Yeah, I think the probably two. One is the zoning ordinance. During my time on the Planning Commission, I worked on the several of the specific plans, North Main Street specific plan and Beach Street specific plan, and I think there was probably another one too, or maybe two more. But I think our zoning ordinance, I think we have, I believe, after you, well, just about from the Lazy Z going on north, and when you have residential, single-family residential or that type backing out into an area where you have that type of speed, I think that's a problem. And I think that's one area we have in the zoning ordinance that I think why I believe the zoning ordinance should come back. We're going to, I think we have to re-examine some of the areas in the zoning to see which is appropriate. And parking, I think he hit on it. It's really important. I really think that my observations over probably the last year and a half of going around and looking at some of the new houses that were put in, and I can speak specific of one down in, on Main Street down there where a duplex was put in, and the parking arrangement, I mean, everybody knows that probably 60 to maybe 75% of the people in Morro Bay park in their driveway. They don't park in their garage. So I think in planning, I think we have to go back and look at what is acceptable as for parking, in other words, for the garage. What has happened in instances where you have a duplex and you have a 90-degree situation where park, if for the cars, you get one of them will block the other, so that where they have to park, they have to park out in the street. And I don't think it's a good policy for the city to, you know, have street parking. I think it's against the policy for the city to provide street parking for residential. It is okay for commercial. But I think those areas is what we need to look at. And
I mean, there would be no development there. The numbers don't equate to the investor. I was reading recently an article in a Tascadero paper. Their planning concept and vision for the community is vertical mixed use, which is apartment over commercial. San Luis Obispo, the charm of the downtown, is built on that same concept. Live and work downtown. You know, okay, you're an owner, you live in a plush apartment over your commercial building, or you rent it to your service group or your manager. It doesn't matter. The ambiance is created. What I see on Morro Bay Boulevard, I've looked at for 34 years. It has not changed. The antique store used to be a bank. That was the last new building. Excuse me, Washington Mutual, another bank. You know, unless you're a bank, you're not going to build anything. They walk in with money, therefore it's an economic interest to them. But unless we can have a vision for our downtown and expand on that commercial residential mix, I think 34 years from now it'll look about the same, and frankly, I think it could be improved upon.
Okay, why don't you hang on to the microphone, and Bill?
I don't have any questions now.
Betty?
One of my main interests in housing is providing housing for you that are a multi-family. How can you, I mean, we already have an inclusionary policy, but that's not sufficient. So what else can we do to maximize or provide more of this kind of housing?
Low-cost housing, from my point of view, is a concept that's not possible. With the constraints for the developer, unless you can provide that developer with such a density, in other words, in a normal R2 zone, instead of 2,900 square feet of land per unit, that R2 zone for low-cost housing might have to be 1,200 square feet of land per unit. In other words, stacking small units. Instead of 35 feet, you might have to go up 8 more feet, 43 feet. There are things you can do to make that concept attractive to the developer. And it's a profit motive. We all do things that are of interest to ourselves. And if you take away the profit, you're not going to have low-cost housing for people. Wayne Comer just recently, that's the prettiest low-cost housing I've ever seen in my life up on Sunset. He didn't build that because he wanted to provide low-cost housing. He built that as a consequence of Morro Cove. He had to. I've been poor. I've lived on a loaf of bread and a jar of honey for a week. It's no fun. But I didn't expect anyone to provide me housing either. It's a difficult issue. To provide the housing, you need the land. It's a pretty tough nut for the individual, I think. But if you increase the density on certain parcels of land, that makes it possible for the developer to create it, not because the state wants it, because he sees it to his interest or her interest, then you might have something viable.
Could you just also comment on rental versus home ownership? Are you assuming that these units have to be home-owned, or are you saying even apartments? Because when you talk about increasing density, I go to apartments, but you may be talking a home ownership.
I'm talking home ownership. On apartment, Tom McLaughlin, this is 34 years ago, I sold him a city block south and Olive, Maine. It's apartment. It was for senior apartments at the time. He had to be 55 years or older. He had to hold that property. It was financed by HUD, very low-cost interest at the time. He had to hold that property for 25 years at subsidized rent. In other words, the citizens of Morro Bay didn't subsidize it. The federal government subsidized it. Every citizen in America helped those seniors live in those units. Tom McLaughlin's profit was 25 years later. But the United States government made up the difference. Well, if we're going to do that throughout the United States, I think it's fair. Take care of our elderly. For the citizens of Morro Bay to try to do that, I don't know if that's fair. Maybe it is. I don't know. But I don't know any apartments in town that you could come out on without some type of...
where we have properties on multiple residential. I think if we could get apartments, you know, We don't have a lot of apartments. When we talk true apartments, you know, you look down, I think down there in Shasta, we do have that one development down there toward Olive in that area. And I believe they're full all the time. And well, whether we have property, I think there are some areas where we have R3 and R4 zone property. And I think the rent would be more reasonable in an apartment situation rather than trying to go into a homeowner situation. I know my daughter and son-in-law both work, and they can't even afford a house in Atascadero. They live in Atascadero. They have to rent a house. But low-cost housing is, I know the government says that you have to provide it, and, you know, they give us quotas and everything. Well, the quotas are given us by the county, or I guess part of the, from the county. But as far as single-family residence, I think it's a near impossibility, really. And I think that we got to look more at apartment-type development in order to make it available, say, to those younger people, you know, who can't afford the single-family residence.
I think you've asked us how we would deal with a problem that the city council and the planning department and the planning commission have been trying to work through for 6 or 7 years, at least that long. And I'm not sure that direct this and this and this, we can accomplish some of the things you want to do. But under the current rules that we're working with, we can't. So maybe we need to look at some of those. Now, if these projects come to the Planning Commission, then that's when we would become involved in it. And I just don't see any way of home ownership in this arena. It almost has to be rentals. And I think these could be taken care of with your apartments over the commercial and these kind of things. That's the only way I can say. And of course, you know, I don't know if there's any way as a city that we can, we don't have a lot of funds, but if somewhere along the line the city can say, well, you know what we'll do? We will lower some of the fees if you will do this. But every time you increase the building cost in the fees and this kind of thing, that goes right directly to the buyers or the ones that are going to be renting these places. So I think you need to look at that as well as the other. But honestly, I think it's more your problem than it is ours at this point.
Planning commissioners are required to step down when they own property near a proposed development. Do you see this as a problem in your becoming a planning commissioner?
I don't see any problem with it whatsoever, having served on it before. There's not a whole lot of development going on in the particular area that I live in.
I would have no conflict at all.
I own my home, built-out development by the golf course. That wouldn't be a problem. My office building, Moore Bay Boulevard, my good friend Charlie Ogle owns the vacant land next to it, and I doubt if he'll ever develop that. And I own a part interest in a mobile home park, and if I were involved in anything in that, I would step down.
Okay, Bill, did you come up with anything? Or?
I do have a question, and I don't know if it's for all three of them. As probably everybody knows, I did have a chance to visit a piece of property and have some things pointed out to me by Wayne Colmer, and I did talk to him, and I'll fess up to that. And he answered or addressed an issue I'd heard before, that because of liability and insurance issues, it's almost impossible to build apartments as apartments. And I don't know if any of you want to take a stab at that. And I mean, are apartments even possible these days because of the litigious world we're in?
Well, I wasn't aware of that type of liability. I would assume that everybody would, you either have your insurance on the property itself, he would have the overall insurance, but I think, you know, for each unit, you your renters would have either have to have insurance on what they have or not. So I don't know that that's an issue. I've never heard it brought up before, Bill. So I really don't know. But I think that it'd be something to examine and find out, and maybe even
it's having been in the insurance business for 36 years, seeing hundreds upon hundreds of apartments built in the Fresno area, no one ever thought that that was a big problem. If it's a big problem, why are apartments going up in San Luis Obispo and other areas? So I'm not arguing with Mr. Comer on this. I just am not sure I see where he's coming from.
I may have misunderstood also.
Wayne's probably talking about the premium, but I don't think it's a problem. You're looking at liability and fire, and the tenant, you recommend they carry their own tenant insurance, but I haven't seen it as a problem for any client.
I got one this time.
Oh, please.
There has been, it's gone back and forth, and Chuck, you know from when we were on the Planning Commission together about how much the Planning Commission should serve as an architectural review board. Do you feel, A, that they should at all, and B, in certain sections of the city, or everywhere? Did you hear that?
No, sorry. I missed the first part of your question. I'm sorry.
Architectural review board. Do you feel that the Planning Commission should serve in that capacity, and if so, in certain areas, or what?
Okay. I think the actually the Planning Commission, in essence, is the architectural review board in the city. I think, of course, the council is the ultimate architectural review board. I don't see the necessity of setting up a separate one. I really don't see that. But I think that persons on the Planning Commission, I think you have a diverse group, Norm. It's good that the Planning Commission does that, and then the ultimate is the council. Because, and I think the commissioners are close to the people in the neighborhoods, and I'm sure they hear from them. So as to their likes and dislikes and everything, and I think their interest is for the city.
I think an architecture review board per se would be a very difficult thing to do. I agree that all of us are, we hear from those people who are being affected by something new going in, and I think we need to listen to them. But I also think we have to remember that you have a person who has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to have a piece of property and to have someone draw the plans for them and all of these kind of things. And they are a property owner, and that they do have, I feel, they have quite a bit of leeway in what they're going to do. But I also think that when they want to do something that is outrageous, we had a very good example, and I won't say it was outrageous, but we had a good example when you had your combined meeting with the Planning Commission. After your meeting was over, the Planning Commission had a meeting, and one of the applicants was wanting to put some a solar system on his roof that extended quite a bit above what was allowed. And it's a very good project. But there were supposedly 75-some neighbors who had signed a petition against this. And to that man's credit, he said, you know, hey, we won't do it. We'll make it comply with what you want. And so I think there's a lot of peer pressure that can be brought rather than a group of people saying, you do this, you do that, you can't do this, you can't do that.
I don't believe in micromanaging anything. I've got mixed emotions as I get older. I refer to the city of San Luis Obispo. They, I believe, have architectural review, at least in the commercial sector. And I would be very open to looking at that if we could, you know, give some guidelines to property owners. The one thing that really annoys me is for a property owner to walk in with a manual and submit plans according to the manual, and then be told, we're sorry, doesn't work for us. And I don't think that's fair or right. But if you could share a vision architecturally so they have somewhere to go, you know, I would be open to some concept like that. I've always been interested in how San Luis was able to pull it off so well on so many projects. I mean, they're commercial buildings. They're made out of tin and metal, and they're gorgeous. So I would be very open to that.
Okay, thank you. Betty, you had something else?
Yes, I did. It's kind of a follow-up to this discussion about apartments. This past year, the council decided to limit the size of second units because they were starting to look like the same as the house that they lived next door to, and that they weren't really then meeting the need of what we thought second units should be. Would you apply the same idea to apartments? You know, we've had application for apartments that are 1,600, 1,800 square feet. Should they also be limited in size so we get more apartments like we're talking density, or is that something that can be any size?
Well, I know I've been involved in the granny units and secondary units in neighborhoods and single-family residential areas for a number of years, and I do have problems there. But I think in apartments, I think that primarily, I think you would be trying to deal with one or two bedroom apartments, and you're going to be limited to square footage anyway, I think, in order to keep the rents down and everything. Now, I don't know whether I've lived in apartments myself for a number of years when I first came to California, and one was about 800 square foot. It was a two bedroom, 700 square foot, something like that. But and I think that type of apartments is what I'm was talking about here, the type of units, and I think they would be fairly reasonable in rent. And of course, the one bedroom too, because we have young people that do not have a family yet, and that would make that available for them. So I don't think that I would set a standard. Personally, I don't think that square footage it has to be, you know, in apartments, it has to be this, a certain size or whatever. I think the developer is going to have to try to get what he can in there and make a profit.
Because of the restrictions put on these second units, I don't think you're going to get a husband and wife and three kids to come and live in them. I think we need to look at what is our goal. What are we planning for in this? Let's face facts. Morro Bay is not an attractive place to young families because they cannot afford to live here. We see that because we've closed one of our elementary schools because we didn't have enough pupils. And every year we see the numbers shrinking in that. What does that tell us 10 years from now and 20 years from now? So I think smaller units is certainly something that we need to be looking at because that's what's going to meet the needs further down the road. I do think we need to have some of the larger units simply because we need to have a place for the people who work for minimum wage and this kind of a thing for them to live. I hate to think that they have to, you know, drive 30, 40 miles just to get to work to make $7 an hour and have to work two jobs at it. But we need to look at all of that, but I think more than anything, we need to look at smaller units for the elderly, for the kids that are just moving out from home and starting their own apartments or whatever, and that's the direction I think we need to be looking.
I think it comes down to density. If in an R2 zone, if you're going to provide 2,900 square feet of land per unit, what you're saying is you're going to allow two 2,900 square foot units, basically. However, if that density were reduced to 1,200 square feet of land per unit, you're going to naturally reduce the size of the unit. If the developer wants to build apartments and you give them higher density, you give them credit for using less land to build more units. They have to build them smaller. That's how you get smaller housing stock for anyone, whether it's a student, elderly, service group, or, you know, old bachelor like me. That's how you get it.
Okay, anybody else? All right. I think we should increase the Planning Commission to 7 people, and then we can appoint them all. It would be so easy. Okay. We will select. This is really hard. Each of you have such unique qualities, and all are valuable. And so, as Betty said, it's just a matter of trying to figure balance with the people that are on the commission now. And I'm really impressed by all three of you. So. Hard decision. We have two planning commissioners back there watching this whole thing.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a tie balloting between Gary Ream and Charles Reeser. Okay. So we'll need to re-ballot one more time.
Okay. Jack, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And please do come back again when there's another opening. I really appreciate it. Some of your thoughts and ideas.
Your real estate knowledge is real valuable.
Thank you for doing the ballots again, Bob. That's very helpful.
Mayor, members of the council, you've selected Gary Ream. The ballots were council members Demerit and Winholtz for Charles Reeser, and the balance of the council for Gary Ream.
Okay. Thank you both, and as I say, very tough decision. Thank you so much. There you go. He can trade off. He can be your alternate. Thank you, Chuck. All right, wait, Chad, we need to vote on this to confirm the
yes, if the council would please, in a motion, affirm the appointment of Christy Hale to the Rec and Parks Commission and the appointment of Gary Ream to the Planning Commission.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Thank you very much, and congratulations, and thank you to the people who applied, and we are adjourned.